Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
From Sentinel Storage. Need extra space? Try 4 weeks free. Sentinel Storage. Shop Canadian. Store Canadian. Sentinel.ca.
It is Friday, September 25th. I'm Shauna. Beckler is away today. We have a lady at the end of this podcast. If you're interested, if you're looking for a gig, or maybe you know somebody who is looking for a job right now and wants some opinions from an expert on resume making, I interviewed this lady named Alicia. She works for a national company called PeopleStore, and she's worked in recruiting and resume making and helping people find jobs for, I think she said, almost 15 years now. So if that's something that you think will interest you, that is at the back of this podcast. You can skip through to that, or, you know, tell your friends or whoever to go to that part. Otherwise, we have some stupid stuff to kick things off as well. So here we go.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So Becca and I have been celebrating what we're calling Softember, and it's where we feature headlines from our neighbors to the west in Vancouver. They're a little bit soft, needless to say. We've talked about this before. They, you know, have weather warnings and severe weather warnings for like plus 10, and we always like to make fun of Vancouver out of love, so I thought that this would be a great time to feature them, you know, talk about some things that are happening in Vancouver. So I've got some more Vancouver soft headlines for you. Here we go. Are you ready? Add some yoga music here. Okay.
Forest bathing retreat offered at Magnolia Hotel. Participants are asked to interact with the forest with all their senses, touching the leaves and watching the leaves twirl in the wind. And it all wraps up with a tea session.
Okay, there you go.
Vancouver Island triumphs over garden variety bully in battle for renowned hotel.
I don't even know what that means. Like, what is a garden variety bully? Did a turnip look at you the wrong way? I don't know. And this is just a headline that goes so well with Softember that I obviously had to include it.
A soft spot for soft cheese, says Casey Wilson.
This is an entire article about how soft cheeses are the best. Okay, like, you're just, it's writing itself here. And last, but definitely not least,
the term Viagra, one of BC's most rejected plates.
You know how we came out recently with that article about rejected license plates that Albertans were not allowed to have? Well, Viagra is one of the top rejected license plates in BC. Why would you want a license plate that said Viagra? Speaking of soft, okay?
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So there are certain things that aren't tolerable normally, but that during COVID almost are ready to unravel you. I had one of these encounters yesterday. I was out at a public place and I'm not going to say where, because it's not necessarily their fault. They just had a bit of a malfunctioning toilet. But I went to the bathroom and then I got up and I flushed. And as I flushed, the toilet itself sprayed water so high out of itself that it hit me in the back of the head. I am not even joking you. Like, not a lot. And luckily, it was kind of late in the flush. So like kind of after it had flushed, thankfully. But I felt something on the back of my head. And this place is very, very particular about, you know, making sure that you're wearing masks. And they're so good with like having hand sanitizer and warning you to wash your hands nonstop and all of this kind of thing. Everything else is amazing. Yet then you have a toilet that washes me down with toilet water. It's a little bit unsettling. It's almost a day ruiner. Like, it's like those toilets that flush themselves and malfunction. Have you ever had that where you're sitting on the toilet and then it flushes itself before you're done, and then you get basically your own little bidet going on there, but you don't want it from that toilet, right? Because it's not meant to do that. And you're just like, come on now. Like, this is not fair. This is the concern with things that are technological, okay? Like, an old-fashioned toilet, I can flush when I want to. Not this one that's just too eager, you know? It's an eager beaver toilet. It's like, I want to flush now. I'm not ready. I want to flush now. If you've got those self-flushing toilets, just double-check them. Hey, test them every once in a while. See that they're still working and not spraying foam into the back of people's head, you know, when they're unawares.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
This is going to sound a little bit odd, but is there a certain hobby or sport that you played that actually helped you get the job? So in radio, playing slow pitch used to almost be as important as your actual skills of the job. Like, slow pitch used to be a very competitive aspect of radio. The rival stations would also have a team in your league. And, you know, after the boss would go through the important questions like, hey, are you qualified? Are you a serial killer or not? That type of thing. There would almost always be a side inquiry about how into slow pitch you were. And it's hilarious because a lot of people I know maintain that they actually got their gig because they played slow pitch. They're like, they were cool with, you know, my qualifications and stuff. But really, the big question was, are you okay at slow pitch? And it's funny because my boyfriend, he works in hockey, and it's kind of the same there. Like, you earn extra brownie points in an interview if you also enjoy playing golf. And it's because a lot of deals are done schmoozing on the golf course, or a lot of, you know, gatherings and stuff. And as a boss, you don't want to have an awful golfer that comes along with you, right? It's a little bit embarrassing. So that, again, earns you extra brownie points. But I was wondering, are there other jobs out there where a certain hobby or a sport kind of helps you along the way? Actually, I had to do an interview to get into university because it was this radio and television course. So there was an extra step, an interview process, because it wasn't all about marks. But anyway, on my application, I'd mentioned that I play the violin, and the guy interviewing me just happened to have a niece who was a fairly famous professional violinist. So he started asking me about that. And we talked about diddling for, I don't know, probably 20 minutes. And I swear that's probably why I got into the program. You know, like, I had all the qualifications, they were there, that's fine. But we connected with violin, so that was a big part of it. It's interesting how your hobbies can actually play a role. Like, that's listed on your resume, but I always was like, that's kind of irrelevant. It's like, well, maybe not. It could be a point of connection for you and your future boss.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Speckler and I always like to talk about good pun names for businesses. We call it our Fortune 500 list, and anytime you come up with a good business name that has a good pun, just let us know, because we love chatting about them. My parents actually sent me one, though, and it's from up by their cabin in Ontario, and they're like, I can't believe you haven't talked about this yet. And we used to pass this place every time we drove to the cabin, and I feel a little bit embarrassed that we haven't mentioned it. It's called The Codfather, and it's a fish and chips place, and it's the perfect visual because it has this gangster looking fish, okay, and it's called The Codfather, and it has delicious fish and chips, by the way, but it is a phenomenal pun name to me. Like, it's genius. And then, of course, I started going down the rabbit hole, because once you get a pun in your head, you're like, is there others that you can come up with for a fish and chips business? And I came up with some other ones that I'm pretty proud of as well. So if you have a potential fish and chips business that you'd like to open, may I suggest some of these options? Okay, Inspector Cadfish, Frying Nemo. Thank God it's Friday, but fry spelled as like frying things up, you know. Jill and Finn's Island instead of Gilligan's Island. Fryman and Gar Snorkel. That one's a bit of a stretch. Instead of Simon and Garfunkel. The Tragic Swordfish instead of The Tragically Hip. That one needs some work. Here are my favorite ones, though, that I came up with. Public Anemone. Oh, instead of Public Anemone. Come on. You know that one's good, okay? Insane Clownfish Posse. Pretty straightforward. Or this one, maybe my personal favorite, Mrs. Troutfire. Okay, instead of Mrs. Doubtfire, Mrs. Troutfire. It works on so many levels, because you're frying up the trout. You know, it's Mrs. Troutfire. You could have a really funny visual of a fish dressed as a woman. There's all kinds of things you could do with that one. So if you would like any of these, okay, please at least just give me a shout out when you're talking about who came up with the name. And that's all I need. That's all I want. Right, that's all I want out of you.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Selling your house? Showcase the space by storing your valuables with Sentinel Storage. And then, whether you're downsizing or moving up, Sentinel Storage has short or long-term storage solutions at a location near you. Shop Canadian, store Canadian. Try 4 weeks free at sentinelstorage.ca.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
So the Blue Jays are in the playoffs. Just barely, but they did. They made it. And that team, I have to admit, is pretty fun to watch right now. It's a wee bit stressful to watch because they're such a young team, and, you know, but they have so many good young players. They've had a few terrible blowouts lately, which makes things even more stressful. Last night was almost a disaster as well. If you didn't watch, the Jays were up 4-1 in the eighth, and the Yankees had the bases loaded, but Jays did wind up winning, and they're now in. Here's the thing, though. Beckler and I have spoken about this. Let's say the Jays do make it deep into the playoffs. Don't get me wrong, I don't think they will. But if they did, it would kind of suck because A, you wouldn't be able to go watch a live playoff game if you are a Jays fan, right? Which I did back in 2016 when they were in, and I would love to do again, and would if it was possible. And B, if the Jays were to win, okay, everything, let's say they won it all this year, everybody would just constantly bring up how it doesn't count because it was a shortened season, right? Like, if you're the team to win the pennant this year, your fans will be razzed for the rest of time. They'll never let you forget about the asterisk beside your name because, you know, jealous fans, that's how they are. They'll be like, doesn't count. No, it doesn't count because it's a shortened season. Like, I wonder if that would be in the back of any team's minds right now, going, oh man, like, I really want to make it, but then we're going to have this asterisk beside our name. Or will it make it even more important, and will you go down in history because of such a strange time that we're in right now? You know, maybe you could look at it that way, being like, no one will ever forget this because we were the team to win it all during a pandemic.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So this is a bit strange, but my mom said to me recently, she said, you know, I wish I had a good sense of humor. And she said this to me, and I kind of stopped dead, and I was like, what? And she says, yeah, she goes, like, you have a good sense of humor. I know lots of people who have good senses of humor. I don't think I do. And my mom is a lovely lady. She loves to laugh and have fun, and I'd never think that she doesn't have a good sense of humor, but for some reason, she seems to think that she doesn't. And it got me pondering. I was like, is a sense of humor something that is learned? Like, what does having a good sense of humor even mean? Are we taught how to laugh at things as we grow up? And in that case, like, if no one in your family ever laughs, would you just not know how to laugh at things? I guess when you think about it, some cultures, you know, even some provinces are known to have, you know, better senses of humor than others, or perhaps just be funnier than others. So why is that? Some places are just known to be more serious. And it's just a bit of a strange concept to think that, you know, in some areas of the world, they just like a good laugh more than others. It's kind of what it feels like. Yes, well, I come from a funny part of the world, you see. That's where I get it from. Even saying the phrase sense of humor is odd. Like, oh, you don't have a sense of humor. Not even a sense of it. Well, excuse me.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
We had a very strange encounter yesterday. I came into work, and we have a bathroom downstairs here. And I walked into the bathroom, and it was a bit muggy in there, which I found strange, okay? And then I lifted the toilet seat cover, and there was some sort of condensation forming on the top of the toilet seat cover. And then there was heat radiating from the toilet bowl itself. And I was like, what on earth is happening here? So I kind of put my hand down near the water, and the water was actually hot. The toilet bowl somehow had hot water in it. So I contemplated things for a while, and then I gave it a bit of a flush, and it flushed still. And so I decided to use it anyway, and I immediately regretted that decision as I sat down and the seat was warm, and I felt like I was steaming my cannon a little bit. But we have this work email where you're supposed to send an email if there are any issues with anything at all. You just send it out. It's called the false email, and it goes out to a bunch of people upstairs. So I sent an email out to the office explaining that this toilet was like a crock pot, and I explained kind of to get people to understand. I said, you know, I sat my ham down upon the toilet seat, and I feared that if I kept it there any longer, I would actually get a cooked ham, which I don't think is supposed to happen with the toilet. So I sent this out to the full office, and everybody was laughing and responding to the email and going, what is wrong with you? But I was like, I have to explain this. Like, I don't think this is good. If this toilet explodes, okay, I just want somebody to know what my last experience was. And it was that I got a cooked ham beforehand. But the water, as the day went on, totally cooled down, and by the time anybody got in to take a look at it, it was completely normal again, and I, to this moment, cannot figure out what the heck happened there. Like, why was the toilet water hot? It was like a cauldron for your ass. Okay, I opened the lid, and it was like opening a steamer. There was condensation there. It was like, did somebody use the toilet as a rice cooker? Was somebody making prison wine in there before me? Like, what was going on in this toilet? I think we have a toilet ghost here. A toilet ghost that in his spare time likes to steam veggies in the toilet. I can't think of anything else. I lost sleep over this last night.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
So Beckler and I got chatting about resumes yesterday because he was mentioning his brother applied for a job with no luck, and then he attached a photo and found it to be a lot more successful. And then we got thinking, we're like, we should talk to somebody about what
you know, makes a good resume, especially right now. There are tons of people who are looking for gigs. And so then I remembered my cousin actually works for a national company and they do recruiting. So I have Alicia on the phone from PeopleStore. And Alicia, you have more than 10 years experience in helping people find jobs and working on their resumes. So I'm going to start really broad here. What makes a good resume? What makes a resume stand out?
Really, it depends on definitely the skill sets, qualifications, type of role you're applying to. People don't tend to walk into employers' offices and hand in their resume anymore. So it's all done online. One of the buzzwords we kind of hear a lot of is ATS friendly. So if you want to make your resume stand out, it does need to be ATS friendly. Basically, that's saying it needs to be easy for the applicant tracking system to read. It needs to be easy for recruiters or headhunters or hiring managers to enter the keywords that they're looking for and immediately find you. When it comes to actually writing your resume, we have a tendency really to share too much. And this may not come as a surprise to you, but much of the information we are sharing on our resume isn't relevant. You don't need to list every job or accomplishment you've ever had. We really want you to stick to the things that best align with the position that you're applying to and focus on the projects or really successes that you've had in your past employment that are relatable, and use the rest to create that keyword-rich skills section. And while we're on the topic of highlighting your most relevant experiences, hiring managers have shown a preference for numbers. So really, if you're able to demonstrate a particular achievement as a percentage or in a dollar and cents figure, we want you to go ahead and do so. So say you've led a project that improved customer retention by 40%, or your portfolio generated $1 million in new sales for an old firm. Maybe you found a way for your department to reduce costs by 17%. These are figures that really should be highlighted in your resume. You want to be specific, but you also want to try not to go into too much detail. So this is where your cover letter would come in handy. If there's a specific project or maybe something relevant in your employment experience that you feel you need to expand upon, we'd ask you to do that in your cover letter. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And when you said, going back to the very beginning here, you know, keyword friendly, what does that mean exactly?
If you think back to college or high school, I don't know if they still do career management courses in school. They definitely should, but they always told us to reiterate or regurgitate the job ad or the job description. Find some way to make it our own. We don't want you to write that out verbatim. We don't want you to stuff in things. We want you to find key points in that job description that align with your skills and experiences and make them your own, and put those either in your mission statement or in your skills section. That way we can find them, we can pull them out. The reality of it is nowadays there could be hundreds of people all vying for one job. And if we're using an applicant tracking system or some sort of data mining tool that can help us screen through our applicants, we're looking for those keywords.
Alicia, yesterday Beckler was saying he knows a couple of people who tried to apply for gigs without a photo, didn't have any luck, and then he attached a photo and all of a sudden had more luck. Is attaching a picture with your resume something that you would recommend?
I mean, if they're applying to something in TV or a modeling gig, yeah, go for it. Right. It's common in some of the Middle Eastern countries, Germany, things like that. It's not something we do here and that we prefer not to do here because of our anti-discrimination laws. So companies have to prove that they are not hiring people or they're not screening people out based on gender, religious status, things like that. And if you're putting a picture in your resume and you're not getting hired for whatever reason, or you are getting hired for whatever reason, they need to be able to prove that it wasn't based on what you look like.
What's one of the most ridiculous things that you've seen on a resume?
Spelling mistakes drive me crazy. Crazy formatting. Oh, it's not arts and crafts. If you are applying for a graphic design position, go nuts. Put your skills out there. But if you're applying for a technical position, a retail position, a standard job, stick to your sans serif fonts. You don't want crazy colors. We don't want crazy pictures. If you're going to hand in a paper resume, it doesn't need to be on a cardstock, and you don't need to spritz it with perfume. Stick to the basics. Make sure it looks good. You want one page. Your best information should be within the top third of the page. Everything else is just facts and figures.
And one last question. When it comes to the trades, is there anything that the trades do that would differ in any ways?
Yeah, I would say, I don't know if it's common knowledge amongst many of our trades folks, but they tend to input their information into online resume databases like Indeed, which is fantastic. But a lot of people don't know that when you apply to a job ad on Indeed, it looks like complete garbage. It is a couple of paragraphs. There's no formatting, no spacing, just a whole dump of words on a screen. So if you have the option to upload another resume, go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. You want to highlight your CFQs, highlight if you have a red seal, highlight what you specialize in. Trades are in such demand right now, it's almost worth it to seek an outside source to help, just to get help writing your resume, just so you have that upper hand.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Alicia.
Great. Thank you.
If you missed the first part of this chat about how to make a good resume, it'll all be on our podcast, BNS in 20 minutes or less. I'll toss it all up there for you.
X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna on X92.9. You've been listening to the BNS in 20 minutes or less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x929.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 minutes or less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.
From Sentinel Storage. Need extra space? Try 4 weeks free. Sentinel Storage. Shop Canadian, store Canadian. Sentinel.ca.